ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
He kōna e purangi tēnei nā te reo irirangi o Aotearoa.
Hi, this is comedian and depressed alcoholic James Nokise, and you're listening to Eating Fried Chicken in the Shower, a podcast about headspace and happiness from my safe space, the shower, with fried chicken. This episode, I'm talking to netballing legend and queen of the north, Nolene Todua. We'll talk about her philosophy of coaching.
Happy people make happy players. Yep. You know, and it doesn't mean that we have to all be singing Kumbaya, but it's where they are, who they are. They can contribute to the bigger picture and they have a voice.
Her philosophy on players.
There's many ways of killing the cat or skinning it, and it doesn't all have to be the same.
Right.
It can be anything you want it to be that's going to make people move and groove, and I think that's what it's all about.
And her philosophy on just sticking around.
Because how long have you been involved in netball?
Oh, like 400 years. Like, and sometimes I think, shit, can I do anything else in my life?
Some of this will get a bit real. The language, the subjects. So make sure you're in a safe space with your comfort food. And join us, Eating Fried Chicken in the Shower. Kia ora and welcome to Eating Fried Chicken in the Shower. I'm James Nokise, and with me today is Dame Nolene Todua. Is that the correct title for you? Do you have Dame, the smartest woman in netball, the god of New Zealand's netball? Is it Queen in the North? Is there a
Queen of the North? I don't know which one's
probably Queen in the South.
I was going to say something. Oh, look, it doesn't sit with me, actually, to be honest, but I'm getting better.
You're the second Dame we've had in the shower.
Oh, who's the first?
Yeah, no, we've had Marilyn Waring in the shower, but before she was a Dame.
Yeah, wicked.
And we had John Campbell here before he was a Samoan chief.
So is he a Samoan chief?
He is. We claimed him.
Wow.
I know.
How did he get there?
I'm not sure, but if you want, I can find out. Like, I think you've coached enough netball players that who are Samoan that we can probably get you a title if you like.
Wow. There's whakapapa in there somewhere.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we're all cousins in there.
Lovely.
So I look for, you know, I'm not trying to say that big things could happen for you for coming in here, but when it's Governor General Nolene Todua, I'll look forward to that too.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
How is your life at the moment? How are you doing?
My life's really good. How I measure or how my life is good, if hubby's good, he's actually not too bad. We go up and down, up and down, up and down, like you do.
Yeah, as you do,
But he's good at the moment. Yeah. And then if the kids are good, I'm good.
Well, what chicken have we got today?
Yeah, it's beautiful, isn't it?
It's karaje. I'm gonna give you yours.
Oh, thank you.
Because we
thank
do
you,
actually.
Thank you.
It's not just for show. We eat here.
Thank you. It's lovely.
Have you ever considered this and helping with team psychology?
Chicken
in the shower for everyone.
Well, I like being creative, so I like the style. I like doing things a wee bit different. I think it provides a relaxing atmosphere. It's something that I haven't been involved with, so no shower, no robe or anything like that. So I like it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, but no, look, get involved.
Well, sometimes I think, you know, there's many ways of killing the cat or skinning it, and it doesn't all have to be the same.
Right.
And that's the exciting thing, because it can be anything you want it to be that's going to make people move and groove, and I think that's what it's all about.
Is that part of your coaching style? Getting people moving and grooving?
Yeah. I at the end, I... Not that I'm a religious person, but do unto others like your dad would say. What does he say?
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Well, my dad would say, "Where's my chicken?" That's what my dad would say.
Followed by.
Do unto others. If you get them not lean some chicken, you'll get me some chicken.
That's right. Everyone in the same boat.
Exactly.
I like that. I like that about people, and I like about people having the opportunity and feeling really good about themselves.
Yeah.
That's what I like. And it just happens to be, for us, it's netball. We use netball as a vehicle to showcase what we do.
I mean, you say you're not religious, but to many netball people, and, you know, I'm not a player, but I'm definitely related to people who play.
Yeah.
What you did with the Silver Ferns is being considered quite the miracle. You took them from, in 11 months? From a pretty low to the I was in London when you
were
won.
You? Oh yeah. Oh, that's so cool.
Especially after the Cricket World Cup. Oh, I soaked that in.
Oh yeah. That was so cool. Actually, we watched that Cricket World Cup as well. Mm-hmm. So we were all on the bed, everyone sort of screaming and yelling, you know, and sort of felt the vibe of what happened and it's whatever.
Oh, yeah, thank you very much. Thank you. Thanks, Coach.
Wipe your mouth.
Sorry about that.
Sorry about
that. So when you're looking at, because you came into the team after they'd had their big defeat.
Yeah.
And like, the way you're talking about, you know, getting people grooving, happiness and all that. Mm. And this is a team who've been, you know, crying on TV and there's words being thrown around. You know, embarrassing and you know, kind of stuff that makes people feel self-low. And we know how much pressure New Zealand, I don't think our international listeners can truly understand New Zealand's pressure on its athletes. You're coming into that environment, like, from a, you know, we're a mental health podcast, from a mental point of view, what are you seeing?
I think, well, I don't think, when I see that, I see people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just how we sometimes, I don't know if it's just in society or how we think about things. Sometimes we attach a person to being an athlete first, or a person being an actress or actor, first musician, whatever. And then it sort of, to some degree, puts them either up in a pedestal or puts them in a place where they're untouchable. And they're supposed to act or behave in a certain way. And everyone sort of perceives them to have this lovely, amazing life. Whereas, just like I see people for people, it just happens to be that we play netball, all the musicians. But there's so many things that go in and around behind the scenes, you know, and it just gets to, when we're out on the court, everything's got to work out really well. What happens off court, your disciplines and your habits and routines, it's going to play a part that you can express yourself on court. So... You know, at that time, I suppose I was in a different place because I was seeing it from the outside. When I saw all the emotion around the players and players that I've had a bit to do with, and then around the coach, and then around the organisation and the abuse, and what happens post-com games, and then just the general public of the perception of netball and the players, which is sometimes fueled by media as well, and wanting a story. So it's just a big machine. You know, I see it as a big machine, but where people can get hurt.
Well, because you're talking about it's a big machine, but it's a big machine for the human beings. How do you connect with that humanity inside the machine, the sport machine?
Yeah. Well, I mean, my starting point is always the person, no matter what. I've always had this saying, happy people make happy players.
Yeah.
You know, and it doesn't mean that we have to all be singing Kumbaya, but it's where they are, who they are. They can contribute to the bigger picture and they have a voice. And I always think, and it may be just how I've grown up, or my ups and downs being a player or whatever. You know, I've been through many where I just didn't feel like I fitted, or I couldn't say what I wanted to say, or didn't know how to say it, just depending how old I was. So I always had this thing where I wanted a certain environment, and wanted to create that so people can be safe, they know they're safe, and they can say what they want.
Where does that come from for you? Like, is that something you learned growing up in your youth, or is that something that's come to you in your playing years?
I think some of it has come through my playing years. Some of it has come through our culture. Being a young female, not saying anything, depending where you sit in the pecking order or what context or what environment you're in, you have a place. And when you want to say something, but you know that's not your place, just that feel that can go in there, but also that balance, knowing it's culture. So where do you sit as a person? What does it take away from you or limit you and your potential?
I think my sister and my son and cousins listening to this will be able to relate.
Go girl, I know what you're doing. Uncle's going to say,
What do you do with that frustration? How do you channel it? Because you seem a very positive person, and the way you talk about people. What do you do with it?
I'm a coach, that's what I do. But overall, my thinking is to create the environment that gives meaning. So when it's meaning of the culture, and it's meaning for the person, the individual person. Because at the end of the day, at the end, we will either win or lose on that particular day. If we lose, does that make us a worse person or a bad team? No, it doesn't. Sometimes it means somebody else is better than us. Or we haven't learnt from our past mistakes. So there's usually something wrong in the process that we have it, but just sometimes somebody's better. And you've got to be able to take that. Or I'm not at the level that I need to be, and you've got to be able to take that, because that will give you the motivation to be better. So it doesn't define who we are. So what defines it? What defines who we are as a team? What defines who you are as a person? That gives me meaning, and that gives that individual meaning. And I feel that's what it's about. Because we're, at the end, you only got a small amount of time or short amount of time that you're involved in netball as a silver fern, then what do you do? Like you help your family, you help your community, and what you learn here that you can sell the word pass it on to others, so as a society we're all better.
Because how long have you been involved in netball?
Oh, like 400 years. And sometimes I think, shit, can I do anything else in my life? Just playing netball, But the sport's been really good. And the good thing is that we've got really good people.
Have some more chicken, because I'll get ahead of you.
I can feel some chicken in my teeth.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, that happens too. That's a side effect of this. Do you have a meeting after this? Are we going to ruin your meeting?
It's all right. Used to meet chicken on my
used to chicken out. I think that humanness is a really important aspect that seems like it's quite modern for sports teams. You know, a lot of the time when we hear about sports teams, we hear about their culture. But I think we associate that more with training and rhythms. You know, like we think of more, get up at 6 o'clock, do your 10,000 hours, all that kind of stuff. But we don't think about the human side. Could you enjoy your chicken by all means? But can you walk us through kind of like things you did with the culture, with the Silver Ferns to get them into that mentality?
I think the first thing is, like, there's a lot of good people who's involved, and that's the first thing. You know, like, if you come in, I think humility is a really good thing, and patience is a really good thing, and knowing even though I'm probably just contradicting myself, knowing where your place is. So me coming in the first instance is recognising all those good people, just because we didn't win that bit, who have been staunch, who have been so committed to our sport, and knowing that they will be forever until they go to the grave. So where are those good things, and then where are the gaps?
Right.
And then just prioritising the gaps, having a good strategic plan, knowing what the front look, what's the start looks like, what the end looks like, which was holding that cup up,
mm-hmm.
and then being adaptable to work within with the people to move each stage
so
to
without,
get to the end.
Without naming names, what's an example of that? Like, without what's a way in which you helped a player get from low to high?
I think, you know, it's actually the environment that helps them.
Right.
So if you create the environment that everybody feels that they've got a dollar's worth, I can tell you,
yeah.
but you know I've got your back.
Right.
You can tell me,
yeah.
and you've got to vice versa, and we're all on this boat together, and we're all going to do that.
Yeah.
But accepting individuals for who they are,
yeah.
and what they're going to bring to the table. Then if you're in the right boat,
mm.
people go, and then, that sounds like a good idea. Why don't you try it? Because I can't, you know, some of the stuff, I can't do it.
Yeah.
You know, but if you get your mate, peers so your mate says to your mate, this is what you do, I'll help you do that, raises the bar. It's actually the environment that moves everybody.
Yeah.
So your strength is the collective,
mm-hmm.
and then if there is a weak spot, that's the weak for the environment. So what do you need to do to help that person?
Cool.
Because if we're all working in the same and we're all pegging it the same way, there's no way that there's going to be a loop.
Yeah.
Or no man himself, you know, by himself. So, there's so many things that sort of we went through in the process, and it probably didn't hit individuals until we got to the end, and they go, this is why we did things back there.
To expand on that metaphor, what's going in the boat? What are you doing to build that boat? Who's building what?
Yeah. I think, I might change my boat to a house.
All right, so we've got a house.
Yeah,
it's a house. Boat, but it's a house.
An ark.
Yeah, it's an ark. All right, we're building an ark. I'm here with Noah Tauro, the coaches
of ark. I think, around it is it's the culture. So it is a boat. It can be a house.
Mm.
I think if I look at the concept as the first thing, so if it's a house, you've got the land.
Mm. Mm.
So the land represents either where you come from. If it's back in my culture, your whakapapa. You know, so I, to Ngāpuhi, my mātātua, you know, my land. And it could be, I don't know, 707 Pukahina Parade, you know, your land, wherever your house goes on. If it's earthquake, then that's going to make a difference to your house. So then you put your walls up, or you put your foundations, so your foundations are the first thing. So in our foundation phase, I got so many people through. We did a quad series and Constellation Cup. Usually you don't. You got to earn the right to wear the silver fern. But I need to see who could actually stand up and who couldn't, and then what was the support needed. So we had over 30 athletes that went through two campaigns. I had to work with the service providers and then the club staff to try and build the foundation. Once I knew what that was, then you're trying to find the priorities. So the priorities are the four walls. And then don't worry about anything else. Just find where the areas that you're going to move and improve performance fast.
Right.
Once the four walls are up, you've got to make sure it's integrated. So if one wall falls down, then the roof is going to, the ceiling, is going to fall down. So it's the integration of the four walls that makes the support strong.
Mm-hmm.
And then you put the roof over the top, which is what I call the moimoia, the vision. So the dream.
Yeah.
So if anything, over the 11 months, I was working all. So our foundation is our identity. What did we want the silver ferns to look like?
Right.
You know,
yeah.
What type of game we want to play? Who are we? What are the behaviours that we need to demonstrate, both on and off court? That looked at the areas, strategic pillars. I know this sounds so boring. Performance.
I think people can relate to this.
Leadership. With our walls, and then you put the ceiling on, so above and beyond, pure. pure was our values.
Right.
Play to win, united we are ready, relentless, and then explosive game.
Yeah, because I think people can listen to this, and even if they're not sports people, if they're business people, if they're social people, and they're just trying to, in their own lives, knowing base, walls, ceiling.
And I think the other thing that we have spoken about within our team, like our values was huge in regards to pure, but it was also that pure space that you're in. Like when you accept, and I know, when you accept the good and the bads about you and everybody else, and this is us. This is it, like Michael Jackson. This is it. If anything, this is who we are. This is how we are. Let's back ourselves. You know, you can't be everything. We only had 11 months. We can't be everything and get everything right. So we had to prioritise with the walls, and this is it, and let's play. So that's what pure is, that you can express yourself and you know this is us and this is who I am. It's that pure state of mind.
Awesome.
So
that's great.
Opens the roof so you can see the stars.
Oh, you got an open roof now.
We got an arc.
Amazing. It's just very fancy arc there.
So you can look through and you know which way you're going.
That's also important. Which way you're going.
Exactly. It is, because what is today doesn't need to be what it is tomorrow.
Oh, cool.
What it was yesterday doesn't have to be like that. It can be anything you want, and there's so many examples of people being able to do amazing things.
But as long as you've got a strong arc, the journey is going to be a lot easier.
Good people who are rowing at the same time, or pushing the boat, or putting the anchor down to stop. Do not move.
Before we're going this way, put the anchor down.
Stop.
Oh, yeah. Awesome.
Cool, man.
Eating fried chicken in the shower. There's no I in team, but there's two in fried chicken.
Were you scared coming in? Was it intimidating?
No, I wasn't scared. I was looking forward to the challenge. I love those. I love challenges.
Yeah.
If I was scared, then I'm not the right person for the job. I enjoyed the challenge, which is why I actually took it on. Because I've sort of done, you know, like I've been around 100 years, so I've done quite a few things, but this was something that I hadn't experienced before.
Is that why you went into coaching? Because was it like three?
I don't even know why the hell I did go into coaching. I didn't go into coaching, I just got coerced and then it was too late and I couldn't get out. And then I think, what else can I do?
Because you retired from playing like 99. Was it 99,000?
I didn't retire. I got the boot.
Oh, okay.
Well, I didn't make the team.
But you'd have been injured, I thought, as well. But I'll tell you why I remember that is because in 99, when I was finishing up at high school, I was into athletics. I'm a big athletics person. I was sprinting and I did the hurdles. And I wasn't really meant to do the hurdles, but I could run really fast, and I was good at high jump and long jump. So the coach went, "Oh, you can do hurdles." Twisted my knee. I was feeling really down.
There. ICL.
No. Almost though. Sprain, not snap. Friend of mine did his ACL, and that was just horrible to watch because poor communities in New Zealand. You got no.
So,
you know, it's not like with basketball when you can get the surgery and all that.
Yeah,
so,
that's it.
Yeah. Mm. Right, was your injury an ACL?
I've done two ACLs.
Oh. it's still good though?
No?
No,
I don't even. Debbie, who's the assistant coach for Silver Ferns, we both live down in the Bay, and then she rings me up and says, "Will you play netball on Wednesday?" No.
You're still getting people calling you up to play netball.
That's terrible.
That's crack up.
It's terrible. It's bad.
I mean, it'd be pretty intimidating.
Bad.
You could just come stand on the sideline. That's like Jordan showing up at a pickup game.
It's bad, though. Like, when you get into reality, it's bad. And I know me, I just can't afford to get injured. Anyway, DB is an old ex-New Zealand player, like 6 foot, 2'3" Amazon woman.
Yeah.
So she gets in there and gets in these young ones' heads. Puts all her arms out like that.
Yeah.
So she loves it.
But you'd have to mum them. You'd just be staunch. They'd be like, "Oh, man, I think that's Noel's on the sideline."
Nah.
Or you can show up with a clipboard and be like, oh man, they've got Noel's coaching them on the side.
Oh, bugger that, eh? I just can't do it.
Does that give you perspective, having had injuries? All that
does.
Stuff?
Does. Yeah. Gives me good perspective. Gives me, when you do a knee or a injury that finishes your career, when you think of mental health, it's very abrupt. And it's very, transition into from post netball or post any sport, when you have a high level, actually, apparently it's really high. And apparently, which is what I learnt over in Oz, it's got, through these neurologist people, it's got the same sort of, I don't know, measurements of post, you know, like war. I know this sounds terrible. But it really is massive when you finish like elite athlete and then you go into nothing.
Right.
And there's been no transition program. Because people are used to the routines, the disciplines, everything there. Then if you haven't sorted your life out, what you're going to do post-sport, then you've got nothing. And then sometimes people, because they've sort of been pushed out the front and then going into the real world, they just can't handle it.
So
going to depression and anxiety and all that sort of stuff. So when an injury happens and it finishes your career, it's just thunk. So you got to get through everything of the surgery and all that, but also what's going to happen to me. So I think I have empathy, but and then conversely, if you can play, what do you need to do to get back? And knowing that you've got to be patient, because if you go too early, too soon, you can bugger it up again. So what happens in that 1 or 2 years before you can play at the level that you know?
You talk about being dropped, and then you go into being a coach. And so, do you have empathy then? Does it make it easier or harder in those moments? Because I don't think people appreciate how, there's the highs of coaching. But then there's also, especially if someone like you, who's a human person, you know, does it make it difficult?
Look,
do you have to prepare?
I prepare, because being on the other side, I want to, as a player, and you get dropped, I want to know exactly why I've been dropped and then what's next. So very clean and clear. I don't want any crap. Just tell me straight down the line. So that's what I really do. I'm very mindful about that. So they're clean and clear. If they're dropped, what's the next thing for them? What do they need to do to improve? And then how can I help you? How can we help you? We'll put some supports around that, which is really important. We don't have 100 million people, so we've got to take care with the people that we have and make them, help them work through that process. But I'm bad too, because if I'm going to cry, I'm going to cry. Just depending how that person is. I'm just so bad. So I can't hide my... If I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. You know, so if she's crying, this, you know. As I say, if I can make sure that they're clean and clear about what they need to do and why, then I'm happy. Whatever my emotions are, I just go with it.
What do you do to help yourself after that? Because that can be a really hard conversation.
It is hard, because sometimes it's people's lives. And people who have dedicated or committed themselves for a long time. And that's probably one of the things that I want to really make sure is that, you know, at the end, I'm not saying I'm God or anything like that, but I can impact on somebody's life. I can influence. So I can make sure that that experience is as positive as possible. That's really important to me. So just, it's like life. Just because this happens, what's next for you? How can I help support you go through that? You know, so it doesn't change no matter, because there's a lot of things that happen, but that's sort of my overall thinking. it's always got to be a win-win situation, or it's got to be a positive relationship. Even if we're at the end and she's swearing at me, at least we get it out, and then what's the issues? Let's move it.
Yeah.
So we're really clear about that. I think at the end, if people can go away knowing that they've been able to voice themselves and say, just tell me.
Yeah.
You were
That's a lot. Like, and on those moments where you do hold it in, what do you do? What do you do to get it out? How do you cleanse that out of you? Is it a bit of chicken?
Or no, it's not the chicken that does nothing. In the older days, it used to be like wine, some alcohol.
Yeah, same for me. Same for many people.
I thought I was turning into alcoholic.
Yeah,
honestly, like far out, and even one, a bloody whole bottle gone.
Yeah,
and then oh shit, I've got to stop this.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because it really doesn't, it numbs it, but don't do anything. And then, shit, one bottle could turn into two bottles. Easy, because one bottle's too easy, you know. But poor hubby.
Yeah. Mm. That's why
if it's happy at home, then it's easier for me, and then it just makes life easier, and then our communication's easier.
Yeah.
So he's really good. He's very, square. But that don't make sense. I just move on, or you need to do this, or. Yeah. You need to stand up, or you need to whatever. So, family's always really good.
Mm.
Kids are good.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're good.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're pretty black and white.
good perspective.
Very good. They give you different thoughts about things, and then at the end, they move on to the next.
Yeah.
What's for tea?
Yeah. Can we stop talking that ball now? Yeah. Come on, I've got some things to do.
You're at home. So, that's really good too.
Do your kids play? Any of your kids play?
So when we moved over to Oz, they did. So I've got four girls, one boy.
Oh, man, that poor guy.
Yeah, I know. He's a new age set. He is a lovely boy.
Yeah.
Oh, Mum, your hair's... Oh, he picks up everything. I said...
Oh, he'll be fine.
Oh, no. I said, right, open the door. You know, I'm just pull out my chair.
He's going to be fine. He's going to be a terror.
He's going to be good.
Gonna be a
terror. I'm telling her what is...
Yeah.
Wife to be would love. So, and he listens really well to his mum.
Oh, very good.
So, it's really good.
It's a big one.
So, when we went over to Oz, they sort of dawdled or didn't do much of netball here.
Mm-hmm.
We went over to Oz and then they all played netball.
Oh, wow.
Only because they didn't want to be associated with me here.
Right.
So, they didn't play anything. They played over there because no one knew them, no one knew me.
Mm-hmm.
Then when we got to the third year, people sort of started. So I was able to go to netball court, but I had to hide in the trees. So I hid in the trees, and then I either got the nod when I was ready to go, and they go, woof, and then I follow behind.
What's that like? What's that like to go from royalty to hiding in the trees? Is that a fun experience?
I'm fine.
Yeah.
I will do whatever they say.
That's
And then I, like the daughter will go, I can help. I can help you.
Texting advice from the tree.
I can help you. I know what to do. Do you want me to help you? No. Okay. Sweet as.
Eating fried chicken in the shower. More comfortable and socially acceptable than hiding in a bush.
Can I talk to you about winning?
Yes.
And the mentality of winning. Because we've had Katrina Walde on here.
Mm-hmm.
And we had her, and she was pre-World Cup.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the last big competition she'd been in, she'd gone on that journey of being dropped.
Yeah.
Then you picked her.
Yeah.
Then you went to the World Cup.
Yep.
Then you won the World Cup. As a coach, like, seeing that journey for a player, what's mentally going through your mind in those moments?
So I think with a person like Katrina, the first thing that probably jumps out to my head about her is that she was involved in the Commonwealth Games, and at that time she was captain.
Mm.
So she took on a huge amount, and I don't know if she mentioned that in your interview or anything. But, you know, so she was captured crying and all those sort of things, and what she must have gone through.
Mm.
Then she's married, and it's so beautiful. And then she gets dropped by me after that. And I get, oh,
which is a terrible wedding gift. I think we can
terrible,
all agree.
You know, yeah. I wasn't even in the honeymoon stage by then. And then the good thing is she was able to have, you know. Yeah. So if anything, that may have helped her. And then, you know, then they were able to, I don't know, get their marriage going or whatever it may be.
But for you as the coach to see someone and you pick them, so, you know, there's the dropping, but then you pick them and you take them to the tournament, and then you get to see them. I mean, one of the great images for our team here at Eating Fried Chicken to have interviewed her, and then that photo where she's like celebrating in the world. I think we reported it faster to ourselves than the rest of Radio New Zealand. We were like, Katrina, what are you? But for you as a coach to make that decision of, like you say, when you drop someone, you tell them, you give them all the information they need, to then see someone take that information, work their way back into the squad. Is there a fulfillment there for you of like...
I think it's more of themselves, like their own confidence of who they are, their tenaciousness, their... It really says a lot that they actually want it and they're committed to do whatever. Yes, they've had some emotional, you know, it's been down for them, but they actually want something really bad and they're willing to either shift or get that communication lines open between me and her. And if anything, it's marks, I think, good character of a person. And once again, it's always like, who says you can't? You know, if you really want to, you can. And she's a really good story. And then, of course, after that, we go homeselves coaching an Aussie at the time. And then, oh, she comes over, gets a contract, and then they beat us over there. So she had three medals around her neck. But it's so awesome, you know. And then out of that, and now people only remember Commonwealth Games for a certain thing, and it hasn't defined who she is because she's been able to rewrite her whole book in a year or 2 years. That's pretty cool.
That's amazing.
That's a lifetime sort of moment in time. She's done it.
Do you take some pride in your part in that story?
I do, because if, and I don't know what piece of it, but it's been able to influence or help her in her life to either say for her, do I want to be there or not? And then she just takes over and does everything, you know, and runs with it and works really hard.
Is that part of the joy of coaching for you? Is that, is that part of the buzz?
That's, you know, it's winning is in my KPIs. Because if I don't win, see ya. You know, and it's really clean as mustard. You either do or you don't. That's part of it. But it ain't going to be all of it for me. It's those moments that people, that you're in a group of people and it's amazing. You know, like, we are who we are. We know what our weaknesses are. We know what our strengths. And oh, bugger it. Let's go and sing. Let's do everything where we got no inhibitions and we're just doing it, you know? And we're enjoying the moment. And that is a lifetime. It's a lifetime experience where she will always think back, go, do you remember in 2000 or 1999? And you always remember that time. And that piece is something that's really dear to me. It's cool.
Is it? Has it always been that way for you? Like, are you a more competitive coach than you were a player? Like, are you getting more competitive as you go? Or are you? Like...
I love winning because there's nothing better. Oh, it's just like,
what's it do for you? What's it do when you're winning?
It's probably more the performance out there.
Right.
You know, so once again, but if you get the performance right, you're going to win.
Right.
Anyway.
Yeah.
But it's that you know, like, there's so much, it's like your prep that goes into it. Like, everything's got to be right. Everything's on to, not only one person, but the whole group.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's getting all that right.
As
couldn't have done anything.
Yeah.
And if we lost, it's just because we didn't know, or there's just a gap somewhere.
Yeah.
And that's all right, because that's a learning.
Right.
Then next time, nothing better, man. I would say if it was like, it'd be the closest thing to being like Beyonce.
Well, you are. You're like netball's Beyonce, I think. I mean, that's the, you're the queen.
The people pay.
You're like, you even got the last name. You got that, what, no, your Knowles. Your Queen Knowles. Queen, yeah, see, there you go. Take that to the Silver Ferns training camp.
It's cool.
I want to apologise to the Silver Ferns that your coach is going to be unbearable this season.
I'm coming. Yeah, that's cool, yeah.
Yeah. What makes you happy away from winning, away from that ball?
Yeah.
Like in the off season, what makes you happy?
You know, I've got a actually last year, so we were I was chucking everything out in my house, and we just relocated back. Yeah. And I had this box, and it had all these pieces of paper, and it's like 10 years ago. Yeah. And it was when I was like in New Year's, what's my New Year's resolution going to be? Oh, that's way gone now.
Yeah.
Happy. I want to be happy. And then I had, what is happy? Happy home, sun, warmth, and a clean house.
That's it. Sun, warmth, and a clean
house. And a happy house, yeah.
That's amazing.
Sun, warmth, and a happy home.
And that's it for you? That's the peace, that's the safe place, that's the calm. It's awesome. How much is joy related to winning?
Joy, enjoyment.
But I don't mean in terms of, hey, we win, we're happy. But I mean like the journey being a happy journey.
Yeah.
Like even if it's hard.
Yeah.
Like it's, because, you know, when we talk about elite training and getting it, how important is it to have a positive mindset and not an arduous mindset when you're doing all of that?
Well, it's always that thing, and I know people, you know, it's the same sort of adage, you know, your glass is half empty or half full. And it's easy for somebody to say, hey, my glass is full. And somebody else, well, why don't you fill your glass up, you know, sort of thing.
Yeah.
But, and it's easy for somebody else to say, this is what you should see. Mm. But at the end of it, and I said to the players, we're really lucky. We are so lucky because people come and pay for it. One, we represent our country. Not very many people can represent your country.
Absolutely.
Stand on that line, sing that goddamn national anthem.
Yes,
people pay for you.
Yeah.
Some of it is a lot of money. So they actually want to see you play. Then other people aspire to be like you. They're young, they want to be a Silver Fern. So we should be really grateful, by one, that they can actually play, and this is our chosen career, really, because it's an opportunity to influence others. And I really think that's really what it's all about, that this moment of time we've got something to do, and we can do something that's going to make a difference to somebody else's life or way of thinking. We're lucky, man. Sometimes we take it for granted, and that's not, you know, that is slowly shifting. But, you know, a lot of women now, or even in other countries, and that's another good thing with netball, you know, like a lot of them in those societies that they're downtrodden in their own communities, netball is a way for them to get out and play. You know, so it's cool to be a part of. So at the end, it's always about people.
Is there another joy?
That's joy.
Yeah.
You know, I want people to be able to stand in their own mana. You know, and what that means, where I fit in that picture, I'll help whatever, whether I have to go that way or go that way. And usually I sort of know with people where I need to fit, but I'm happy to sit back or just hold your hand or whatever. I'm happy for that. But at the end, I want people to stand in their own mana. And whatever that is absolutely fine. And I think I love that, you know, because I just think, for me, that's what it's all about. That's what sport's about. That's what my role is. Yes, it is coach, but those are the other things that bring me joy.
Awesome. We ask this of every person who comes into the shower, because it is my safe space and the chicken and everything.
Yeah.
Is there anything that you would like to share while you're here? Anything we haven't talked about, anything that's on your mind, anything you'd like to leave here in the shower while we're eating chicken before you go?
Oh, you know, you spoke about my dad, and it was quite interesting because when I got asked to do this interview, and I thought, you know, and I sort of think about my own sort of ups and downs, but with maybe what other people are going through, I've got no idea, you know. So when he passed or prior to him passing, it's quite interesting sometimes because they hold on to a lot. And then as he was sort of going through those stages, that stories come out. And a big one that came out was when he was in Vietnam, and I was sort of thinking of the mental side and what a lot of those veterans went through and then coming back, but also how that influenced or impacted on his life. You know, some of those things I would think, you know, they're amazing stories, and then I hear that when he's nearly dead, and it's terrible. Not in saying that respect, but it makes me more prouder of his ability to be able to voice that, even though he had like a week later or whatever, but he can actually voice that, you know, and having that courage to be able to do that, because then other people get to understand or have a connection or resonate with the stories, you know, and I think that's a big thing. And one thing that I keep harping back on is having an environment. And he would always say the people will talk. You got to let that. You got to ask the question, because if you don't ask the question, they're not going to answer it. But then also their offset is that they can stand in their own mana and tell me what they want. And that's the amazing thing. You know, that's the most, that's the World Cup in itself. And then they go on and influence others. You know, so people in that space is how they can get the courage to say what's happening in their own lives, because until they can say that, then people don't know. You know, so it's been massive. And maybe at the time when he was going through that, I was more wanting to listen because I knew it was only a short time. But just those moments in time that you learn from, and you take that and you put it in your back pocket for the next time that comes out, and to be a better person. It's very cool. As being in the shower with you, which is very cool as well.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for coming in and sharing your stories. And for, I think a lot of people will be listening to this and thinking about how they can stand in their own mana.
Yeah, cool.
And I think that's a really cool thing to share.
Also,
congrats on the awards and the World Cup,
thank
too.
It's
pretty choice.
And so I'm going to ride that wave. I'm going to ride it before I get tsunamied off. It's so good. So good. Thank you.
Thank you. Eating Fried Chicken in a Shower was produced for RNZ by Charlie Bleakley and Fruit and Nuts Limited, and presented by me, James Nokise. The engineer was Blair Stagpool. The executive producers for RNZ were Justin Gregory and Tim Watkin. Subscribe to our podcast however you just found this podcast. Or, if you're listening on the radio, go to RNZ's podcast page and look for the chicken. And when you rate us, only give us 5 stars. Remember, more stars, more chicken. And if you want to share your safe space or comfort food, tweet me at James Nokise. If you need support, text 1737. Or for more resources on mental health, check the Fried Chicken webpage at rnz.co.nz. If you're experiencing COVID-19 related mental health issues, go to health.govt.nz and search for COVID-19 mental health and well-being resources. We'll also link to it on the RNZ page. Faftailafa Matewa.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.